Arts Movement Radio. Women's Movement Radio. Welcome to Women's Movement Radio Show. I'm your host, Janae Azenstrauss. I would love to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to our show today. As always, I will be speaking to women all over the world about their business, love, and lifestyle, bringing you inspiration, motivation, by always aspiring to keep you informed, inspired, and incredibly successful. We have a great show planned for all of you today. When we return, ladies, we'll be talking about how to be a rich chick. Are you a woman who is serious about starting an online business that will allow you to create sustainable wealth and growth? Well, we've done the research. Let us introduce you to some of the best business professionals that have researched numerous business concepts and provide you with great free advice for developing a sustainable business online. Visit us at womensbusinesssourceonline.com. As I stated before the break, today's topic is about being a rich chick. It's all about getting that paper, baby. You know, I don't think so many people recognize how important money is in all aspects of their life. It's about having a healthy relationship with money by defining your views and emotions around it. Well, our next guest coming on the show is going to offer us some insight into how we can overcome the obstacles women face in balancing their checkbooks in business and in life, and also how to remove those spiritual blocks that prevent us from having that natural ebb and flow of money into our life and business. Antoinette Sykes is the founder of Rich Chick Society, which is an organization she created to empower women to feel confident about their finances and business and life. When we return, we'll have a nice little chit-chat with Antoinette about her business, love, and lifestyle.
The hottest new gel polish just got cooler. Reaction by Gel 2. Color-changing polish that heats up and cools down, transforming your look. 12 temperature-activated colors that evolve with you. For a perfect manicure that strengthens nails, choose Gel 2. What's your reaction?
And we're back now. On today's show, we have Antoinette Sykes, founder of the Rich Chick Society. Hi, Antoinette. How are you?
Hi there. I am well.
Thank you for being on Women's Movement Radio Show today.
I'm excited to be here. We are a few days into February, and 2013 has kicked off quite well. So I'm excited.
It is. And you're located just out of D.C.?
I am in Maryland, about 20 minutes outside of D.C., so I'm in that whole D.C., Maryland, Virginia area.
I love D.C. I love D.C. I was actually thinking about taking the kids to, in the summertime down to the Smithsonian's, the museums down there. I love that place.
It's a great place to be. It is. So if you're here, of course, you have to allow me to have some type of tour guide in your travels.
For sure. We'll definitely connect. So I'm glad that I have you on the show today to talk about, what's happening with you and your business, love, and lifestyle. And one of the things that I was going to ask you about is, how did you become a personal finance money mindset expert? So many titles.
I know. And I believe, from one entrepreneur to another, I believe, obviously, we probably wear a couple of hats. That title has probably transitioned, transformed, and just kind of been reinvented over the lifespan of however long we've been an entrepreneur. And that has certainly been true with me. It's been true with a lot of the clients that I've coached. I actually became a personal mindset or personal finance expert and money mindset expert by the trademarks of what I was doing in my business. I started my business as a traditional, quote, marketing and consulting firm, and quickly found out that I could not, quote, compete with the big boys in the way my business was set up, my business model, that is. And so through some research and, of course, trial and error, It was just me. I didn't have an accounting department. I didn't have a graphic design department. I didn't have, IT department, the buck stopped with me. And when that happens as an entrepreneur, you quickly have to figure out some other ways that you can not only survive, but thrive in your business. So I set up my business model and I changed it. And in doing so, I started taking on entrepreneurs to help women entrepreneurs grow their business because I was talking about marketing and sales and all those types of good things. And one thing became very clear to me throughout the time frame that I would have consulting calls, coaching calls, you give it whatever name you'd like. The biggest thing when we started to talk about sales and marketing was how women showed up in their finances. And so oftentimes when clients meet with me, anyone who knows that, my first question is often, what's your number? What's your number? And you should see the blank stare that is reflected back to me because they don't know their number, i.e. they don't know how much money they need to generate each month. They don't know how to put the sales packages together, how to even track the numbers that are coming in. So it became quite a chore and an investment of my time where we had to really spend some time focusing on the numbers. And that meant, of course, getting very real about our personal finances as well. So 9 times out of 10, most of my time was spent around that, because when you start to dive a little bit deeper into the numbers and into the money aspect of it, every bit of emotions, be it negative, positive, or any type of behavior around money surfaces. Everything just kind of bubbles to the top. And so a lot of times, half of my time was spent, let's deal with the money aspect of it so that we can get you past this hump so that you can feel comfortable being able to present your value to a prospect or to a client and be able to demand the type of money that you are worthy of. And then so that's kind of a long explanation of how it evolved into the personal finance and money mindset expert, as well as myself. I was one of those kids that went to college and signed up for every credit card. You know, the credit card companies are there to, of course, entice us, and I fell hook, line, and sinker. And so much so that I spent like my first summer, my freshman summer, like literally working a full-time career job that wasn't even related to my undergraduate degree. But I had to do that because I had amassed a huge amount of debt. And so throughout that experience, I'd learned how to budget money, manage money, you know, talk the numbers and truly get comfortable with it, but also figure out a plan on how to tackle it and how to tackle debt. And so I'd help some of my same clients do the same thing, unadvertised, but definitely behind the scenes, and as well as some other family and friend members as well.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. There's definitely some things that you and I are going to talk about throughout the course of this interview. Now, why did you start Rich Chick Society?
For that exact reason, I started the Rich Chick Society as, you know, I feel like I strongly believe that it is such power in this time frame to be a woman and a woman entrepreneur. That's number one. Number two, when I looked at the span of my business, the services that I offered and where I gave back the most and what I felt like aligned with what I'm supposed to be doing, the money aspect always rose to the top. So I wanted to create an environment for women to learn how to handle their money, leave a legacy, give them empowerment and inspiration around wherever they are in their financial situation, and help them to truly know their numbers and be able to command a higher salary, be able to stand before, you know, your client, your prospect, to exhibit the type of skills and abilities and communicate it in a way that allows you to fully own your value.
You're, and I agree with you 100%. I think that's, when I was coaching, that was one of the biggest things that I saw with women as well, is that deer in the headlights look when you start talking about money. They have no, it's not even that they have no idea how much money they want to make. Some of them, even in their business plans, it was reflective that they just, it was more or less, they just put something together and they had no clear direction of how to even implement what someone else had put together in a business plan, or even what they had put on paper. It was like a foreign language to them.
Completely. And I strongly believe, you know, and I think, you know, all of us start businesses with well intentions. We are talented, gifted. We have knowledge, skills, and abilities that we want to get out there in a bigger way. But there is definitely some things behind the scenes that we need to face and confront and be able to manage in our way so that we can get out there in a bigger way and feel 100% comfortable communicating that.
Now, what would you say are some of the spiritual roadblocks that prevent money from flowing into a woman's business? And the reason why I'm asking you this question is because you more or less touched upon it when we first started talking. But I have found, not just in my own personal life, but even as being a coach, this is something that constantly comes up. There are women that do understand what a profit margin is, revenue, all of these things. They have the great business proposal, business plan put together, and they're implementing their strategies and their targets, but yet they're still not achieving their goals. What would you say to a woman around that? Would you say that it is something spiritual?
I do. I believe that obviously everyone's money story is completely different, but I do believe that in our business, in our money, in our life in general, you pick any area, finances touch every area of our lives. So finances are going to dictate and determine where you're going to go to school, where you're going to send your child to school, the types of clothes you're going to be able to purchase, what are you going to eat? I mean, every area of our lives. So once you make that clear connection, then you start to ask yourself, you know, maybe what are my thoughts or subconscious beliefs behind money? And a lot of times we're not even aware of it, as you know. So I'll take, for example, when I went away to college, you know, I believe I signed up for those credit cards because necessarily a money conversation was not had with me. And so I subconsciously took on the behavior, the rolling of what I saw mimicked in my household. So if you are a person who maybe there's a block, our circumstances or where we grew up and the messages that we receive, both verbally and non-verbally, affect heavily where we stand today in this very moment in our financial decisions. So if you are a woman who is completely smart, of course, we're all smart. We've gone to college. You're running a business. But then there's this other piece that's lacking. I would first check in with yourself to see exactly what types of beliefs do you have about money and about success and about you being able to achieve it? Because if there's some type of block there, some type of limiting belief, then that's where the stopgap is. And you won't be able to allow the flow of money and you won't be able to fully give yourself to your business and show up in that manner. And if there's any type of shame around that. So a lot of times if we have debt, and depending, it doesn't matter what the debt is. It could be an investment for school. It could be careless spending that we may have, you know, fallen into. Until we, again, recognize that and confront it and truly own it and put a plan in place to annihilate it, then we're going to feel some type of guilt and shame behind it. And again, those aspects prohibit us from showing up fully in our business to be able to allow the money to come in. Because if you're a business owner, you have packages and programs and you're going to go out and talk to people. But if you have this little thing in the back of your head or this little thing in the pit of your stomach where you don't feel valuable enough, where you haven't shown yourself enough love or forgiveness or taken empowerment around this thing, then it grabs a hold of you. And there are definitely some blocks around that.
I can appreciate that. I like you talked about what it was like for us back, and you shared your story around university, and that's the truth. Like even when I was in school, I remember being a kid that I grew up a certain way, and then obviously when my parents separated, our lifestyle changed, and I was I was in my early teens when that happened. I remember my first time moving to Toronto and being around kids, and especially in how I grew up. I grew up in a suburban area. So for me, it was more of, can I get back to that status? And I'm just being very bare in sharing that. It's really, it was about the image of what I was projecting.
Sure.
Very much so, you know, and I find that more so when I do connect with younger people now, it's still very much about the image in schools. And that's partially why they're coming out. In Canada, they don't have them as much, but I know they have them in the States. But you know those prepaid Visa cards or MasterCards? It's also coming out here in a way for the parents to monitor their children's spending, because so many kids in Canada, one, either they can't afford it, or they're taking out student loans to afford to go to school. Mm-hmm. And it's really expensive, but that's where I was coming from. And a lot of the blocks that were around money was just about the fact that when you're a child that grows up in a household that you either had a certain level of status or you never had a status at all. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden your entire lifestyle changes because one, your family's income is cut in half and your life's not the same. I think from a youthful perspective, you're struggling with it. It affects your self-image. People don't realize how much money does affect certain things in your life.
Oh, absolutely. And not just as a child, but obviously we carry that right into adulthood, right into our relationships,
yep,
right into our professional career. And I'm telling you, as you know, when you start a business, everything that you have not addressed bubbles to the surface.
Oh, for sure. And we see that even in relationships. That's another aspect, even in relationships. I was actually talking to someone that told me this. There's a website that's called sugardaddy.com, and where young girls are actually pimping out, like they're offering up themselves to service men to receive payment to put them through school. When I start seeing things like that and hearing things like that, that is so sad to me, that that's really the state of where, in order for our kids to get an education, this is how low they've decided to go in order to get an education. And that is something that it's not even just about the kids, it's not just about the parents, but even as a society, that should schooling or receiving an education not be cost effective. I don't care if you're going to a Harvard or to a state school or a provincial school, it should be cost effective enough that everyone should be able to receive it.
Sure, education is key, and especially when you talk about contributing factors that, you know, have such a huge stake in what you're going to earn. I think last year, or about 4 years ago here in the States, of course, when we hit the big, quote, recession, that was the largest number of college students that were going to be graduating that were truly unsure if they were going to even have a job, not the type of job they would have, because I feel like, you know, I graduated with options, you know, so I could, you know, take a $25,000 a year job, or I could even, you know, the opportunity was there for even a greater salary. But to even come out as a 21, 22 year old with no income and no idea of when that thing is going to turn around was completely disheartening for me.
And what's also sad too, because I, even a part of my company, I started a media academy even within my company, because even a lot of the major corporations, they're not even willing to take on internship for these kids to get the necessary skills that they need in order to transition or position themselves to receive a future career. So a part of what I've started doing is taking on interns, and then even because my company is also a growing company, looking at ways of how we can even hire on some of these people. We may not be able to offer the big salaries as of yet, but just even providing a lot of young women with the opportunity, it's not even the opportunity. I'm baffled when I talk to some of the companies even I worked for in the past, and they don't even have a structured internship for these kids in their HR sector of their companies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's because, you know, obviously budget cuts. And so, you know, and that was subject to me. That was one reason why how I ended up being a full-time entrepreneur was after a layoff. So with budget cuts, you know, they're cutting the budget, they're cutting the staff, but the workload has not changed.
Exactly.
However, the workload is now being shifted to those people that are still going to be there and take up the slack. And I think today also, again, why I believe interns, especially non-paid interns, are not as prevalent is because of the times in which we live in. A college kid today knows that, number one, technology is key, and there are more opportunities and less risk for you to step out there and be some type of freelance artist versus going to go, you know, sit at a corporation for 5 hours a day and maybe get college credit or maybe not get college credit on top of not getting paid. They don't have that type of mentality today.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. It is true. Well, Antoinette, I was going to say, Now, after everything is said and done, how would you say that your business has affected your life? You know, you've shared bits and pieces of your story with me, and it's definitely been a process for you. But one thing that you haven't mentioned is how young your company is as well.
Yes, my company is 4 years old, mm-hmm. 4 years old, and it's gone through a lot of transition. And I believe, obviously, you know, you can't control what happens in life. So I ended up being laid off twice. And I said, okay, I hear you. Let's just kind of dive on into this thing. And about a year into that full time, I lost my fiance to suicide. So I've had to reinvent, readjust, and really step up in a powerful way to decide, A, am I going to sink or swim? Also realizing that, you know, again, I can't control any of these circumstances, but I have to choose how I'm going to react to them. And quite frankly, the business aspect of it was probably a huge piece that, you know, kept my sanity, so to speak, aside from my faith and my family and my friends, but just kind of having something to get up and nurture and take care of and figure out, as exhausting as it can be on one hand, it was the very thing that I probably needed to focus and to truly build my character and my faith back up in myself and in life and all of the above, because I don't believe that no one can prepare for losing a fiance. No one can prepare for in which the manner it happened, and definitely no one can prepare for losing a job, not once, but twice.
Yep. And I think you and I spoke about that the first time we spoke, about how in death, which can be seen as ruin, creates such a huge transformation in those that are left behind, and the effects, the ripple effect of that.
Yes, completely, completely. And I'm a strong believer, you know, I have a strong faith in God. Good. And I truly believe that out of every mess, there's some type of message and there's some type of blessing that has to come from it, has to come from it. So I believe if this, you know, if all of this took me to birth my new business, to birth Rich Chick Society, to birth helping other women eradicate poverty, which is one of my missions. I, you know, don't want to see women starving or children starving or people starving for that matter. But I believe we live in an abundant world, and definitely we're in, you know, one of the greatest countries. So why should there be any type of lack or poverty in the physical realm? And if we can help, if I can help, the Rich Chick Society can help with, you know, spreading the word on financial awareness and how to leave a legacy so that it doesn't get, you know, matriculated down the line. And that's exactly the underlying mission and why I do what I do.
Well, that's a beautiful mission. And that's the same thing for me. It's just, I want to see women free, emotionally free. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Antoinette, you're such a wonderful and powerful lady. And, you know, there's many things that you and I are collaborating on, upcoming in the next few months. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, how do you feel about being a part of GWI?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, which part of it? The part that it's global, the part that it's women, the part that is inspiring, the part that it's a conference. I mean, you pick a portion of it. Now, I am beyond ecstatic, of course, because it touches on everything that I've been talking about. It touches on women. It talks about inspiration, empowerment, not to mention sisterhood. I'm very big on helping my sisters, helping women just really lift up themselves to a new level of things that you didn't even know was possible in you. And so I am excited to not only just be a part of the message and the mission of GWI, but also to connect with some sisters that I know and some sisters that I don't even know, and to really create some bonds to just make the world a brighter place.
What was your topic for the conference?
My topic for the conference is learn how to be a rich chick in 2013. And rich is an acronym. And so
break it down, baby.
Yeah. So I broke rich down into an acronym. And so they're going to learn exactly each step and what that means and how to apply these principles and success tactics and spirituality into everyday living. And I believe that wholeheartedly. We can't just be on the analytical mind. It has to be a level playing field. We bring in our spiritual practice that matches our analytical piece as well. And I think I do a pretty good job of that.
Well, you know, I'm so glad that you touched upon spirituality, because spirituality is so vital. I have been speaking about this forever and ever, the inspirational aspect about being attuned to what is being said, whether somebody believes in God, the universe, what it is speaking to you out there. Because our businesses are one, I almost believe that our businesses represent our intellectual aspect. It is the part where we can take our divine inspiration and it blends, and that's where it comes into fruition and we can see the manifestation of it. But there's also the other aspect of us that really needs to be grounded in order to be present in all aspects of our lives. It's definitely about us connecting all of our spirituality and just bring everything into full cohesion.
Well, yes. And I believe, you know, strongly, we are spiritual creatures. We were created from a spiritual realm. And so we have a brain that we use. We also have been endowed with gifts and talents. And I believe those gifts and talents are used in our everyday lives, be it if you're a professional career woman or if you own your business. And the way in which you connect the two is just really understanding, and like you said, being conscious with the message that you are sending out through the world, through whatever gifts and talents that you use.
And it's vital and it's important. And ladies listening, spirituality, you have to have something in your life that keeps you grounded. I don't care if it's meditation. I don't care if it's if somebody practiced Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism, whatever it is, whatever keeps you grounded or keeps you centered. You know, I keep talking about this movie that I saw. I took my kids to see a movie called The Rise of the Guardians. And it's about how all of the they turned like Santa Claus, Jack Frost, and all these people into superheroes. And there's a scene in there, Antoinette, where Jack Frost and Santa Claus were talking about finding your center, which I thought was an amazing concept to teach to young children. But it is so true. Santa Claus was saying to Jack Frost, because Jack Frost's complaint was, you know, people believe in you, Santa Claus, but they can't even see me. They don't even believe in me. You know, they don't see me when the frost happens on outside, or when it's winter or the snowstorms come. And Santa Claus says to him, you know, I'm fun and jolly, and it's about me finding I lose sight of that, I always can come back to my center. And that's something that women need to find spiritually. Like, they need to have a place where they can come back to their center. So that way they don't understand, that's their emotional intelligence. So that way, as they make decisions, it's being conscious of what's happening in their mind and how their mind affects their behavior.
Absolutely. And that also raises your self-confidence as well. Because if we haven't quieted our mind to even give thought to what the day is going to be, and, you know, when you come up against those types of, you know, life happens scenarios, be it on a level one or be it on a level 10, if you haven't introduced some type of spiritual practice beforehand, then that allows you to actually jump into that quick reactionary mode, and your stress raises, your pressure raises, and nothing really productive comes from that. Whereas I like to tell clients, and those that I work with, even my friends, like, I don't care if it's an affirmation in the morning, if you just need to sit still and, you know, write in your journal about how you're going to see your day or what you're grateful for. I believe taking time in the morning to connect with God or some other practice, as you say, really puts you on the path and really opens your eyes to what's possible. And that's how the miracles start to happen. And the shift begins to happen also in the business. And then, like you said, and then the money will start to flow, because you'll see it completely different. You will see everything through a different lens.
Well, one of the things that I have found, and I'll share this with the ladies for myself, is how important gratitude is. And it's about being so thankful. You know, when we really look, if we were really to look at ourselves and think about all the greatness that Hashem, which is God for us Jews, but that all the great things that he's done and how the gifts that we've been given, mm-hmm. the very gifts, like the ability to have to be chosen, hand selected, and this is your gift and that's what I'm giving to you, go forth and prosper. When people really see the power in that, that gift, not to say that someone else can have that, but when you know that you're chosen and highly favored, it changes the incomplete dynamic, and it's really getting women to realize it's not about, there's nothing that I've been given or you've been given that was not meant for us.
Oh yeah, completely. It takes the competition out of it, and it's more collaboration and truly stepping into the power of the gifts and talents and resources and abilities and opportunities that are available for you, that are available for you. And it's your, and when you show up completely in all your fineness, your glory, and claim it, is when that is reflected back to you as well.
It's such a wonderful feeling just to operate in gratitude. I recently saw a few weeks ago, I saw the rerun, but Mastin Kipp and Gabby Bernstein and Marie Forleo were talking to Oprah on Super Soul Sundays. And I actually I don't even watch television. And Oprah, if you ever listen to this, I'm sorry that I just don't ever watch any of your shows. I'm sorry. But I actually did show up to watch that. And one of the things that Marie Forleo said, it always starts with gratitude. And it is operating in that humility, just knowing that everything that you've been given it's just divine inspiration to know that the universe thought so highly of you that it would give you a gift, that you could operate in your greatness.
Absolutely. And we owe it to ourselves so that we can be powerful enough to move forward and operate in a business, because you're using those gifts and talents in a business to be financially rewarded for as well. But when you start from a place of service, then that comes through in your presentations and people are going to want to invest in you. Hence, the money starts to flow.
You know, one of the things, I love the fact that you just talked about service, because I think there's a misunderstanding around service. A lot of people, when they think of service, they think of, I have to go out and become a philanthropist, or I have to go and join an organization. No, sweetheart, your service is the very gift that you've been given and how you can utilize that in the world. And instead of trying to put things on, and I think that's the biggest miscommunication around service, is that it is wonderful if people want to go and volunteer. I do volunteer work, and I'm assuming that you probably do some of that as well, Antoinette, but that is not just service. People don't realize you operating in your greatness and then providing other people with the opportunity to share in your greatness. Wow, that's power.
Completely. And I believe people really think of service as being free. And that's what really trips you up. And that's completely false. Because if you think about it, when you take your car in to get service, there's a fee that's associated with it. To be a philanthropist is going to cost you something. You can't just show up and be a philanthropist. A philanthropist is well endowed with money to be able to give away,
yep,
to be able to be of service in a bigger way. So service does not mean free all the time. It is what you do with your gifts and your talents that you offer. But service means coming from a place of gratitude,
yep,
and offering that first.
For sure. Antoinette, yes, thank you for such a wonderful conversation. Are there any last words of inspiration that you would like to offer to the women listening today?
I would love to offer words of wisdom around just knowing that nothing is impossible if you only believe. Number one. Number two, join me as well, because I have deemed 2013 as the year of no more empty purses. No more empty purses.
That's great. So. That is good. That's very good. No more empty purses. It's true.
That's right. No more empty purses. It's time for you to be a rich chick.
It's time. It is time. And ladies, it is time. It is our time. And as I always say, join me in a movement of women who are changing our lives by force. Thank you so much for being on Women's Movement Radio Show today, Antoinette.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to connecting with you even more.
You're welcome.
Mom's Movement Radio Show.
on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. with me, your host, Janae Azenstrauss, where we will talk to moms all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle. Join us and be a part of a movement of moms who are changing their lives by force. I am so thankful we had the wonderful opportunity to speak with Antoinette today. You know, Antoinette gave some really great insight into our money dynamic. Ladies, I hope all of you are listening, that you are supposed to make money in your businesses, and you need to know how much you want to make and have a plan of where you want to go in your business. How can you seek out treasure if you don't have a map? So why would you expect for money to just start flowing into your business without having a plan? Also, recognize that to build a sustainable business, it is not instant success overnight. Many of us in our westernized culture and mindset are relentlessly seeking instant gratification. Many have asked me, I have a business idea, Janae. How do I start and where do I start my business? You know, Arthur Ashe has the answer in this quote. Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. I respond by saying, I built my company literally with no financial resources. I had to become innovative in my creative process. I discovered this is not a race. I am my own competition, and considering I don't believe in being competitive, I am focused on my evolution with grace. Meaning, I became well acquainted with patience. The patience you display with yourself is the underlying key to your success. Ask yourself, can you be patient long enough to allow yourself to evolve into your greatness while building your greatness? I want all of you to think about that. And on that note, ladies, I want to thank all of you for listening to Women's Movement Radio Show today. I'm your host, Janae Azenstrauss. Join me here on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, never forget, be informed, be inspired, be incredibly successful. You're now listening to WMRN.